In the words of the Lord Jesus found in the verse 31 of this chapter and the following verses, the Lord Jesus first of all highlights the danger of a false profession. And in highlighting the danger of a false and empty profession, he goes on to declare the evidence of a true conversion. In the verse 30 where we began our reading, we read as he spake these words, many believed on him. That is, there were many who professed to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But in verse 31, the Lord Jesus spoke to those people, and we're told then, said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And while it says here that these people believed on him, it's clear as you read down the rest of the chapter that these people who professed to believe in Christ at this particular time, it was but an empty and vain profession. Because if you read down the chapter, you will find that their words and their actions contradicted the profession that they made. If you go right down to the end of the chapter, to the verse 59, these same people who had professed to believe in the Lord Jesus, we read in verse 59 of chapter 8 of John's Gospel, then took they up stones to cast at him. These people who had professed to believe in Christ, they're taking up stones to cast them to attempt to take the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Little wonder then that the Lord Jesus had said to them in verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. They were still of their father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. They had not experienced true conversion, these particular individuals. And so the Lord Jesus in verse 31 was declaring, therefore, what are the marks of a true conversion? Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Or then are ye my disciples truly. Those who profess to be the Lord's. If they're truly his. If it's a true conversion, the Lord Jesus says that they will continue in his word. They will abide in the profession they make. I know a true child of God can grow cold of heart for a time, but there'll be a coming back again to that profession that they had made. Perseverance in the things of God is the evidence of a true conversion. Oh yes, there are those who would profess faith in Christ and they would talk about the preservation of the saints, but no one can take comfort in the preservation of the saints unless there's the evidence in their life of the perseverance of the saints. And so the Lord Jesus in verse 32 continued to speak about true conversion and true converts. He said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make ye free. Those who experience true conversion, they're made free. Free from the guilt of sin. Free from the bondage of sin. Free from the power of sin. And free from the eternal consequences of sin. Freedom to live for God comes with true conversion. In verse 33, the answer that these individuals give to the Lord Jesus is another evidence that the profession they had made was but empty and vain. Because in verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? These particular Jews here who had professed to believe in the Lord Jesus, they were blind to the truth. They were saying here that they were never in bondage to any man. They were talking from a political perspective. They were saying we were never in bondage to any man. And yet at that moment they were being ruled by the Romans. They were in bondage. In their past, Israel had been in bondage to the Egyptians. They had been in bondage to the Philistines. They had been in bondage to the Babylonians. And yet they're saying here, we were never in bondage to any man. But of course, more serious and solemn was the fact that these particular Jews who were speaking on this occasion, they were blind to the fact that they were still in bondage spiritually. They were in bondage to sin. And they were in bondage to Satan, as their words and actions in this chapter demonstrate. And the Lord Jesus therefore went on to speak of the eternal consequences of being in bondage to sin. And as we come to think upon these verses a little more closely tonight, I trust if you're not saved, that you'll realise tonight that you're still in bondage. Bondage to sin and to Satan. And it's only Christ can set you free. I want you to think first of all about the slavery of sinners to sin. In the verse 34 of John chapter 8, in the midst of this conversation the Lord Jesus was having with these Jews, we read, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Or we could read it, "Whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin." And here the Lord Jesus is describing the spiritual bondage that every one of us are in when we're born into this world. Because we are born into this world as sinners. As unconverted sinners. Therefore, by nature, all of us are slaves to sin and slaves to Satan. When you read those words, "whosoever committeth sin," of course there is a sense in which even every child of God still sins. But when the Lord Jesus said here, "whosoever committeth sin," the word "committeth" means whosoever makes a practice of sin, or whosoever continues in a habitual pursuit of sin. Because we are sinners. By nature, those words describe us all. We are those who continue in sin and go on habitually in sin in our unconverted state. And therefore, by nature, we are all slaves to sin. And if you're not saved tonight, you're still a slave to sin. Turn back to Matthew chapter 7. That chapter we read this morning, Matthew chapter 7. When the Lord Jesus was speaking during this Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, in the verses 17 and 18, he had this to say. Matthew chapter 7, the verse 17, "Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." And of course, again, this is a picture of what we all are by nature. Because our nature is sinful, the fruit we bring forth in our lives will be sinful. Sinful words, sinful thoughts, sinful deeds. Turn over to Mark's Gospel in the chapter 7 as well. Mark chapter 7 and the verse 21. And again, in what the Lord Jesus says here in Mark 7 and the verse 21 onward, he is emphasizing the fact that by nature we are slaves to sin. Because we are born with those sinful hearts, those wicked hearts. Mark chapter 7 verse 21 says, "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And again, we're reminded our hearts are wicked and sinful by nature. Therefore, we are slaves to sin. And all of these sins that are listed, they proceed from our heart. You know, many times it's so easy to look out at others in life. We can see the person who has become a slave maybe to alcohol. We can see the person who has become a slave to drugs. And yet, if you're here tonight unsaved, maybe you don't really realize that you too are a slave to sin. Well, maybe not those particular sins that I've mentioned, the alcohol or the drugs, but you're a slave to sin. You know, there are so many people and they are a slave to the sin of pride. Feel they don't need God's salvation. Feel that surely they're good enough. They don't need to repent of sin and come to Christ for salvation. Others are in bondage to the sin of unbelief. not really believing that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Maybe you're the sort of person, maybe you've tried to reform your life yourself. You've tried to give up certain sins. But you know, in reality, you may give up certain sins, but if you're unsaved, you're still a slave to Satan and sin. Remember Herod? In Mark chapter 6, we read of how many times he heard John the Baptist gladly. And it would seem that there were certain sins he maybe gave up in his life. He did many things when he heard John. And yet he still was in slavery to the sinful relationship that he was in with Herodias. And we never read of him coming in repentance and in faith to the Lord Jesus. In another place in the Gospels, we read of the rich young ruler. He seemed a very upright person from a human perspective. He came asking the Lord Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And yet in the conversation that ensued between him and the Lord Jesus, it became obvious that he was a slave to the sin of covetousness. Turn for a moment to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we read a number of parables of the Lord Jesus. And in Luke chapter 18, in the verse 9 onward, there was a particular parable which the Lord Jesus spake. And we're told in verse 9 of Luke 18, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Of course, it was talking about the Pharisees here, because the parable went on to speak of the Pharisee and the publican. And the Pharisee, he was a slave to sin. The sin of self-righteousness. He thought he was good enough in himself. And when he prayed, we're told that he prayed with himself. And he thanked God that he was not as other men. He didn't seem to think he was a sinner. In reality, he was in bondage to the sin of self-righteousness. That could be you tonight. Sadly, how many people there are in our land, and they're in bondage to this sin. Somehow think that they're good enough to get to heaven. Somehow good enough by their works, by their church attendance, to gain acceptance with the holy God of heaven. Yet, my friend, according to what the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 8, by nature all of us are slaves to sin. And if you're not saved tonight, you're still in slavery and bondage to sin. Charles Wesley penned a hymn, and for him, of course, it was a hymn of testimony. As he looked back to what he was before the Lord saved him, he said, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's name." You know, if you're not saved, that's what you still are tonight. Your spirit is still fast bound in sin and nature's name. Oh yes, every child of God here has to acknowledge to their grief, they still sin day by day. But there's a dying to sin. They're no longer in bondage to sin. They're dying more and more to sin. And living more and more to Christ. The slavery of the sinner to sin. But then I want you to see in the second place that in what the Lord Jesus says, not only does he set before his hearers in John chapter 8, the slavery of the sinner to sin, whosoever committeth sin is the servant or the slave of sin. But he speaks in the second place concerning the solemn consequences of sin. Look at the verse 35 of John chapter 8. And he's continuing to use this illustration of the slave in the house. And of course he's saying the sinner is a slave to sin. He says in verse 35, "And the servant or the slave abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever." And if you think upon the first part of the verse, the servant abideth not in the house forever. The Lord Jesus is using this illustration which would have been so common to the people of his day, because there were so many slaves in homes and so on. And he was saying that the slave or the servant does not abide in the house forever. In those days, a slave could have been in a certain master's house for so long, and then, well, the slave could have been dismissed, or the slave could have been sold. And in a parallel manner, the Lord Jesus was seeking to show these Jews that though they prided themselves in the fact they were Abraham's seed, physically they were Abraham's seed, they were not Abraham's seed spiritually, because they were unconverted. The true children of God are Abraham's seed spiritually, according to the word of God. The Lord Jesus said to these individuals in verse 39, they had answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. He was saying to them, yes, you might be Abraham's seed physically, but you're not yet his seed spiritually, because they were still in bondage to sin. But the Lord Jesus was saying to them, though you're in the house in a sense at the moment, just as a slave abides in his master's house for a time, in a sense these Jews, though they were still unconverted, they were in the house in this sense. They were members of the visible church, if we want to put it that way, in their day. They professed to be the Lord's people. They had many privileges, having the word of God and so on. And yet the Lord Jesus was saying to them, if you're still a slave to sin, though you may enjoy so many outward blessings and having the word of God and so on and being members of the visible church, you'll never be in the house in the set forever. That is, in a sense, you'll never be in glory. You'll never be in heaven. That's the consequences of going on in sin. That's the consequences of being unconverted. That's the consequences of dying in sin. The Lord Jesus earlier on in this chapter of John 8, he said the same thing in different words in verse 21 of John chapter 8. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. So many of the Jews thought just because they were Jews, physically by nature and by race and so on, that would get them into heaven. But the Lord Jesus was saying to them, if they went on in their sin, that where he was going, they could not be. If you turn back to Matthew chapter 8 and the verses 11 and 12, again the Lord Jesus was highlighting this same truth to the Jews with all their privileges. While of course there were many of them that did believe in him and did experience salvation, many did not. Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west. Of course, that's a reference to the Gentiles. And shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, and that is a reference to the Jews, shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. As we said, yes, there were Jews who came and believed in Christ. But those who were just depending on who they were and their privileges, without repenting of their sin, they would never be in God's heaven. And how solemn to think, when we bring this to apply it to your own day, how many people in this land even, oh, they're members of a congregation, maybe. They certainly attend the place of worship. And yet if they go on in their sin, they will reap the solemn consequences of that. They will end up in that terrible place called hell. And you know, you could come to this place every Sabbath and hear the gospel preached. And then if you never come to that place of repenting of your sin, and placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you too will end up in that terrible place called hell. How you need to think on these things. That brings me to our final thought tonight. Because in these words again in John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus, yes, he set before his hearers the fact that by nature as sinners we're in bondage and slavery to sin. In the second place, he spoke very clearly about the solemn consequences of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever. But then he spoke of himself as the only Saviour from sin. Because at the end of that verse 35, He said, but the Son, referring to himself, of course, abideth ever. And then in verse 36, he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can break the power of sin. The Lord Jesus is the only one in whom we can find freedom from sin, salvation from the guilt of sin, from the power of sin, from the eternal consequences of sin. Because when the Lord Jesus came into this world, and when he went to that cross at Calvary, the Bible makes it clear that he bore away the guilt of the sins of his people. He bore away the power of sin for every last soul who would be saved. And he bore away the eternal consequences of sin for every last soul who would be saved. Because during those hours of darkness on the cross, he endured the wrath of God for the sins of his people. If you turn back to Isaiah chapter 61, that's one of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it describes for us something of what the Lord Jesus came to do. And in a sense, in picture form almost, in illustration form almost, we are reminded that he is the one who can set us free from the bondage of sin. Isaiah 61, the Spirit, the verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. I want you to think upon these next words. To proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And you see, in picture form, in a sense, this describes what we are by nature. Because we're in bondage to sin, it's as if we are in prison by nature. Because we're in bondage to sin, it's as if we are captives. And yet the Lord Jesus was the one, he came to proclaim liberty to the captives. He came to open the prison to them that are bound. And those tonight that are in this meeting and are saved, we know by experience. Oh yes, some of us may have stooped lower in sin than others. Some of us may have been in sin for many more years than others. But whichever was the case, if we're saved, the Lord Jesus brought liberty to us in our captivity. The Lord opened the prison to us when we were bound in sin. And the Lord Jesus is still the only one who can break the power of sin. And that is why he said here in John chapter 8, to those to whom he was speaking, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You'll be truly free. True freedom can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has done all that is necessary for the salvation of his people. He lived the life. He died the death. He shed his blood. He arose again. He ascended to God's right hand. He's interceding. And as Hebrews tells us, he's able to save to the uttermost. That's true freedom. All that come unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church in Galatia, in Galatians 5, verse 1, he said to them, stand fast therefore in the liberty, the freedom, wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Surely if you're not saved tonight, would you not desire freedom from your sin, freedom from bondage, freedom from guilt, freedom from the power of sin in your life? The hymn writer said concerning the Lord Jesus, he breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the vilest clean. His blood avails for me. Earlier on, I quoted couple lines of that hymn of Charles Wesley, when he said, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night." But then he went on, and he could say this because he was saved. "Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." Has that been your experience? I'll leave you with one verse as we come to an end of the message. Because the Lord Jesus was talking there in John 8 about the servant not abiding in the house forever, but the Son does abide forever. In Hebrews chapter 3, we read some verses which exhort us to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. And it tells us in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 3, again using this imagery of the Lord Jesus being over the house. If we're saved, we're part of the house of God, we're part of that holy temple. And it tells us in Hebrews 3 and verse 6, "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end?" It's not saying if we hold fast to the Lord that that gains us salvation. But it's saying if we're truly saved that God will enable us to hold fast. And really it's just saying in different words what the Lord Jesus said back in John 8 when he said, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Can you look back to a time when you turned from your sin and trusted Christ? And can you say, "Yes, I've went on with the Lord since that"? Oh, maybe there's been times that have grown cold of heart, but the Lord has drawn me back. Or tonight, do you have to say you're still unsaved, still in bondage to sin? It's only the Lord Jesus tonight that can still free you from your sin. You not come to Him tonight. You not call upon Him for mercy. You not ask Him to break the power of sin in your life and to save you by His grace. May the Lord work in your heart tonight if you're still out of Christ. We're going to sing in closing 231.